is the Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with the crew, Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com, also Max Henson, staff writer, Panthers.com, and Dan LaTaraca, keeping his eye on Facebook and Twitter. Guys, the votes are in. It is official. The Panthers are winners. We can celebrate, because I'm telling you, it's been five hard weeks, heartbreaking losses. On Sunday, they did everything it took to come home with a victory from Washington, D.C. against the Redskins and RG3, a team that, quite frankly, I was very worried about. But the Panthers did exactly what it took to win.
They did. It's great, a great feeling, a great vibe around the stadium, of course. I mean, in a lot of ways, they did a lot of the same things, honestly, they've been doing in a few games recently, but they did them in the fourth quarter as well. And clearly, that was a key. Four losses by a total of 12 points before Sunday. On Sunday, we went into the final 2 minutes up by 15 and were able to hang on.
Max, did you see a lot of the formula that you saw in the Chicago Bears game? Sort of the game plan looked like a winning game plan, and yep, everything started falling into place on Sunday.
Yeah, I think we did. I think the big difference in the two games is you just didn't have those big mistakes, game-changing mistakes against the Redskins that you did against the Bears. Obviously, the interception that gets returned for a touchdown in Chicago is the game-changer. And whereas in Washington, the offense really just kind of moved the ball methodically for a couple drives. First time in team history, 290-plus scoring drives in the same game. I mean, they were methodical. Limited mistakes, no turnovers, which is obviously huge if you want to go on the road and beat somebody. So they did that, and they played a clean game, and they just, the defense obviously kept them in it throughout. And like I said, there just wasn't that kind of mistake or that big play given up that could really spark Washington. They made them earn everything. And at the end of it, you walk off the win because, you know, you kind of play four quarters of solid football without kind of giving anything up big that can give them that spark.
I think the message was all along during the losing streak that there just needed to be a group of players to step up and make timely plays, big plays at the right time. And we saw that on Sunday. Now, let's talk about who are your MVPs? Because, I mean, we're going to stay on this for a minute. Talk about on offense, defense, special teams. Who are some of the guys, and I'll talk to all of you, Dan, you too, who are your MVPs for the game? In fact, Dan, go ahead, you first.
For the game, absolutely Greg Hardy. He's a guy that was emotional on the sidelines. He brought a lot of passion on the field, and he put a lot of pressure on Robert Griffin III during that game to lead the defense and, you know, really take apart that very dynamic Washington Redskins offense. So definitely got to be Hardy for me.
How about on offense?
On offense, I mean, it's Cam Newton. It's been that way for every game this season. He's a guy that keeps you in the game and has kept the Panthers in the game all year. And if there's going to be an MVP, it's going to be your quarterback, and it's definitely Cam Newton.
Good choices. Good choices. I'd say on defense, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Sean McDermott yesterday, defensive coordinator, and you look at Greg Hardy, like you mentioned, Dan, Charles Johnson, 14 combined sacks over the past five games. I mean, they've been producing at a high level. Two more sacks for Johnson against the Redskins, sack and a half for Hardy. You could easily pick one of those two. But as soon as I started talking to McDermott about those guys, the name he brought up almost instantly was Dwan Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you get, and I know it's
okay
good,
to share.
It's a good choice, Brian.
It's okay to share.
There's a reason. And the reason, the sack numbers from Hardy and Johnson have been outstanding. But the point Sean was kind of making was that while that edge rush is great, if there's no interior push, the quarterback can just kind of step up in the pocket, and then you can just avoid that edge rush. What Dwan Edwards is giving this team is that kind of interior push, and it's creating a lot of these sacks for Johnson, for Hardy, and for himself. He's got five sacks in the season.
What a great pickup.
Yeah, and he played really well against Washington. I mean, so that would be, without going with either of the two defensive ends, Dwan Edwards, I thought, again, but on an ankle that was questionable coming in, played a pretty good game, and again, it's continuing to provide that interior push, given that D-line, you know, what it needs.
Yeah, I was going to go with two of the three Edwards on the roster,
yeah.
Dwan and Armani, but going back to what you said about big plays and needing those plays, I'll pick a guy that made a big individual, you know, one play, Josh Thomas on defense on the fourth and goal in the first half.
Holding that edge, yeah.
Holding the edge. stopping that fourth and goal, setting up the offense for a 98-yard drive. And then I will stick with Armani Edwards on offense because we were getting to a point where I think, you know, me and Max sitting in the press box were talking. It was starting to feel a little bit like we were worried that it might start to go the way of a couple of these other games late when Armani made the 82-yard catch to set up that touchdown.
Well, I'm going to go on defense. I mean, everybody's pick, great picks. I mean, you can't win a game without a number of guys that could potentially be MVPs. But a guy that continues to play with a zest and lead this team emotionally, Thomas Davis.
Yeah.
Because, quite frankly, he had one play where he got caught up in the wash, picked himself up, came back in the game, and I'm telling you, he was all over the field. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, the linebacker core with Luke Kuechly, they played very well, and also James Anderson. But I have to give an edge to Thomas Davis because the inspiration mm-hmm. that he provides his team, and quite frankly, this team needs every ounce of inspiration they can get, and he did it. And offensively, I want to give my shout-out to D'Angelo Williams. Mm-hmm. He was rallying the team before the game, mm-hmm. and then when he had his chance, made the big play, taking the run down the sideline. And that big running play, that breakaway run, has been missing from this offense, and I was just so glad to see it. And my special teams guy, you guys said some good guys, but I got to go with Colin Jones because his signing will go totally unnoticed outside this building mm-hmm. and this organization. But he is a guy that's flying around the ball. And our coverage teams have been so much better this season. And when you figure the Redskins had one of that dangerous return man, and they were able to keep him under wraps. Well, hey, our opinion counts, but your opinion counts also. We want to hear from you fans because your questions drive this show. Dan, let's go to our social networks and pull questions for this week.
So we got Jessica Stanton asking on Facebook, how does Sunday's win affect the team's hunger for the rest of the season, and what's the energy level amongst the players and coaches so far this week?
She sounds like a rep for Snickers. are we getting a plug here that we don't know about?
We talked about that a lot
last week. My stomach just growled.
Yeah, are we getting a new sponsor here? And this is during lunchtime, so she's talking about hunger. But the funny thing about this question is when I did my locker room talk for this week, I went around and I asked players, can you taste victory? And mm-hmm. and what I kind of was in the question, what I meant was, I heard an old coach say one time that you need to want to win as if you're underwater and fighting to get to the surface and you want a breath of air. And it needs to be that type of desire that drives you every day, every rep in practice, and propels the team to succeed. There has to be desire. So when she's talking about that hunger, you know, it's not just our stomach growling, but also our desire to be successful. Right. And when you look at, and it has to be a team thing. Mm-hmm. It has to be a collective thing. And I think we saw that.
Yeah.
These guys were hungry for a win, and we saw it on the field. Did you get that feeling too?
Yeah, they were. And like you mentioned with Thomas Davis, a guy who wears that captain, you know, C on his chest, the leaders are kind of, I think, pacing this, and you're seeing that kind of hunger. How about another captain that we haven't really mentioned yet? Steve Smith has his first touchdown of the season in a big play. I mean, Smith's always been waiting a while to get back in the end zone. But on the Armani Edwards 82-yard catch, and you talk about hunger and a desire to win,
mm-hmm.
Steve Smith is on the other side of the field when Armani makes that catch, and it runs across to the other hash and lays out the defensive back for Washington, one of those bone-jarring blocks. And sure, everyone was excited for Armani Edwards, but the bench erupts when Steve kind of makes that block. And you talk about fighting for every inch. You're talking about making every play when an opportunity presents itself. Steve Smith runs across field, lays out that block, and then is the first guy down the field to congratulate Armani Edwards. So you talk about a guy leading by example, and that's what Steve has been doing for this team for a while and what he'll continue to do. And, yeah, I think these guys are pretty hungry. That play was pretty evident of it.
Nobody's going to question Steve Smith's commitment.
Speaking of hungry,
when you see like that,
Steve Smith just launched his Smitty sandwich.
I saw that.
Good call.
Salami.
Hey, Genoa salami is very underrated.
Toasted sourdough. Too.
Yeah,
man, I'm gonna go try one this week.
I like that. By the way, if you haven't seen that, that's on our Facebook page, I believe.
That is
Steve Smith launching a sandwich. Maybe we'll, next week, if we if we have time today, we'll talk about what our favorite sandwiches are.
Yeah.
But back to that question, Brian.
Yeah.
When you talk about seeing the desire exhibited on the field, that's what it's going to take to continue this winning streak now.
Definitely, Mike. And, I mean, I think also we need to give credit for the fact that that exists, period. I mean, the leaders are pushing that ahead. But you're on a five-game losing streak. That's hard to come by sometimes. It's easy for guys to not feel like you were talking about. I love the analogy you gave about, you know, needing a breath. And certainly, you know, they've been breathless for a while with the losing streak. But to have that resolve in the face of that losing streak, to me, is pretty remarkable.
Well, let's look at some more questions there, Dan.
You know, speaking of Armani Edwards, Dan Wallace asked on Twitter, will Armani Edwards begin to see more reps on Sundays after that big play?
Well, we know with that wide receiver position, we know a decision on David Geddes is close. That could affect it. A lot of things going on there. I mean, it was a great play. It was a great play, but really it has to, you know, there has to be something to build on.
Right.
And, I mean, glad – I'm happy for him.
Right.
But there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, and I mean, don't forget Brandon LaFell was out Sunday, and obviously he's had a very good season. And we assume – you know, I don't know this for a fact, but obviously you assume there's a very good chance he'll play Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know about Kealoha Polaris yet with his injury. You know, Armani got the chance because of Kealoha going down with a shoulder injury on a kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Armani – it's great for Armani that he's shown – you know, that he can respond when called upon. This doesn't guarantee that he'll be called upon consistently, but obviously it puts him in a better position.
And that wide receiver position, you need all hands on deck right now. So that will be definitely something we'll follow here on Panthers.com and on our other networks. Let's move on. Hate to leave that win because, I mean, it's just like you want to marinate. You know, you want to just marinate.
A lot of food. A lot of food topics today.
All my shows tend to go like that, back to food, but you want to marinate in it. But before we do, I mean, the Broncos are coming to town. Foxy's return to Bank of America Stadium is going to be that's a topic that's going to be talked about. And, hey, this is a social show, so we're getting some late-breaking news here. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, just to let everybody know, we're just talking about the wide receiver situation. We do have a move just in from interim general manager Brandon Bean confirming that Kealoha is going to have to go to injured reserve, unfortunately, with the shoulder injury he suffered. But David Geddes, who we've been talking about for a while, has been added from the PUP list onto the active roster. Today was the last day we can make that decision. Certainly unfortunate, you know, 4K Aloha, that happened. But in some ways, you know, good timing at least that you want to get David up and you have a roster spot because of the injury for KLO, for David.
Well, as always, we aim to be on the edge of technology and text comes in, so we got to get it on the air.
There you go.
But let's get back to the Broncos. And certainly Geddes, if he's back and up to speed, will help against this tough Broncos team coming in.
Yeah, I mean it's a formidable task. Obviously, you know, Coach Rivera, meeting Monday was talking about, you know, you talk about the Broncos. First thing you thinking about is Peyton Manning. It's been a story all season. Everyone's been very interested to see how he would come back and perform. And Ron pretty much said he looks like he did when he was in Indianapolis right now. I mean, he's playing at a very, very high level, and it kind of all starts with him and making those calls to the line of scrimmage. He's got great weapons on the outside with Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, the running game. You know, it's a very balanced offensive attack. And defensively, there are some names there, and Champ Bailey, who's a guy who's been around this league for a while. I'm sure that Champ-Steve Smith matchup will be one everyone will be looking forward to watch. And, of course, the pass rush that they provide with Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil. I mean, there are a lot of big names on this Denver team. They're playing very well right now, and obviously they're going to be coming in here, you know, riding a bit of a streak of their own, looking to continue that.
Well, this has the potential to be a very, very good ball game because a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. And it will be incumbent on the defensive line to continue that hot play and momentum, won't it, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning, I mean, this is the case with any quarterback, but obviously you cannot – you let Peyton Manning be comfortable in the pocket, to say the least. He's made a Hall of Fame career out of picking people apart when he has time to throw. But he, like anyone else, even as great as he is, if you can get him off his mark, if you can, you know, get him to hesitate at all with a push, you know, he's mortal. So that, I mean, that's certainly a key.
Isn't Denver number one in sacks allowed this year? I've checked the stats on that, but with the way our defensive front four is playing, that could be a big benefit for the Panthers.
Yeah. No doubt. Let's get one more question with time we have now.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Chris Wesley asking about our logo change and if there would be new uniforms. Now, we don't know much about that, but we can tell you, Chris, that the Panthers will be wearing their black uniforms at home for the rest of the season, so that black jersey, silver pants, silver helmet look. So we can answer that. We want to get that one out there. But
Well, we're going to have a blackout Sunday, right?
Absolutely.
So anyway, I'm dressed already.
Yep, you're ready.
I just stay like I am.
Kind of an off-topic question coming in from Reddit user ShortN510. Who are some players that the Panthers have let go in recent years that went on to be really big players elsewhere?
Okay.
Kind of a round table. I mean, Julius Peppers obviously comes to mind.
Yeah, JP would be the biggest one,
absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah.
But I tell you what's important in that question is that when you are building a team and at certain positions, I mean, you're going to have overflow. So every team has that.
Right.
And unfortunately, guys go on. I mean, I think of a few years ago, I'm drawing a blank on a name, but a young man was here, rookie free agent, went to Green Bay. But he was just in camp when there was a load of players at that position. So it's going to happen every year.
Oh, yeah. Every team,
but,
too.
And
but
in
anyway.
Both directions, Mike, because, you know, I was saying the other day maybe we should send the Bills a thank you card. Because
yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier Dwan Edwards and then Jeff Hangartner last year. I mean, where would we be without Jeff right now?
Oh, yeah.
Khalil hurt.
Oh, yeah. So. It definitely works both ways. Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. This is Mike Kraft. On behalf of the guys, Brian Strickland, Max Henson, Dan LaTaraca. I also want to thank Dave Monroe, man in live stream. David Langdon providing the studio, getting the thing set up. And Berkeley Dickens mixing it up on the board over there. The Wheels of Steel. I know he was a DJ at one time. I can tell.
DJ Berkeley.
Anyway, we'll see you right here, same time next week on Panthers.com.